Thank you for listening to the Ablaze Church Sermon Podcast. Our purpose at Ablaze is to love God, love others, follow Jesus, and tell others. If you are looking for a church home in the Tulsa area, we'd love to have you join us for worship on Saturdays at 6:30 p.m. or Sundays at 10:30 a.m. For more information, please visit our website at ablazechurch.org.
Did you hear the one about Arnold Schwarzenegger, who was walking in the back alley of Universal Studios in California with two of his friends? All of a sudden, one of the back doors of the studio swung open, and there was a director there who was panicking. He says, "I need three fill-ins for famous European composers. Can you help me?" And the three gentlemen talked to him and said, "Yeah, we can help." One said, "I'll play the role of Beethoven." "Thank you so much," said the director. Another one said, "I'll play the role of Mozart." "Oh, thank you so much," said the director. And Arnold Schwarzenegger puts his glasses on and says, "I'll be Bach." Some of you might catch that later. Well, Arnold really stole that saying from somebody else, much more famous. Arnold not only is famous saying that once, but in many of his movies. Jesus, 2,000 years ago, some 2,000 years ago, said it many times too. Listen to what John records about the words of Jesus. "In my Father's house, there are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come back and take you to be where I am." In the last book of the Bible, Revelations, in the very last verses, this is what Jesus said: "I'll be back soon." Well, as Christians associated with a church, what should we do in the meantime, waiting and watching for him to return? Well, that's what the parable of the talents is all about. Let's take a closer look. Let's focus in and try to have a 2020 vision. What does Jesus say? There's this very loving, caring, wonderful master who's very gracious, very giving. We know that because he gives his wealth to his servants. Now, the servants here are really bond servants, or another way of saying it, employees. They don't deserve this wealth. They didn't earn it. He just comes to them and says, "I'm going on a journey. Here is my wealth." Wow. Now, to one servant, five talents is given, to another two, and to another one. What are these talents? It could be gold. It could be silver. It could be merchandise. It could be land. Now, in the parable, we learn that it's wealth, property, and money. And what's interesting is it's not equal, what is given, but it is fair in the master's eyes, because it is the master who gives the talents according to the ability. And the three servants do not argue about the amount. Now think about that. Imagine Peter saying, "Why do I have to go to the Jews? Why doesn't Paul?" The master would say, "Well, you speak the language of the Jews because you are. And I've gifted you to reach them." Imagine Paul saying, "Well, why can't I go to the Jews? Why do I have to go to the Romans?" "Well, Paul, I've gifted you to be a missionary. You are a Roman citizen. You speak their language." This is the good news. Paul and Peter did not argue like that, nor did the three who received the talents. What are these talents? The gifts, the wealth, everything given that we use with our body, soul, and our mind. Let me help you out. Some of you may know I played high school football, okay? And then I played college football. But there's only one thing that prevented me from playing in the NFL. Now, it wasn't passion or desire. I had a lot of passion. I had a lot of desire. No, the only thing that kept me from playing in the NFL was talent. On loan from God. Okay? It is God who gives the talents physically and mentally. Some people are good with numbers and chemicals. And then God gives talents spiritually. Some are just really good with dealing with the spirit of people. It is God who delivers the gifts, the talents, the skills, the wealth, and the money according to our ability. Wow. I want you to think this morning about all that God has given you. All your ability, all your talent, all your wealth. No, it's from God. Now, what happens with these servants? The first servant is given five talents. And what does he do? His desire is to please the master. So he takes that talent and begins to trade. He leverages it. He uses his desire to serve the master, and he makes five more. Wow. What does the second servant do? He takes his two talents, leverages them, trades with them. His desire is to please the master, and he makes two more. What does the third one do? His desire is for himself. He takes the one talent and he digs a hole and buries it. Wow. Now, in this parable, Jesus is after a long time. I think he's telling the apostles at this time, it's going to be a long time down the road. After a long time, the master returns and they must give an account. Who's the first one to step forward? The one with five talents. Master, you delivered, notice the word, you delivered unto me five talents. Here, I've made five more. What does the master say? Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with little. I will put you over much. You know what his reward is? More responsibility. Yeah, that's his reward. More responsibility on earth. Referring to the end time, heaven, he says, enter the joy of your master, the joy on earth and in heaven. Now listen, if you're employed and you do a good job and you're good and faithful, you know what your boss most likely is going to do? Give you more responsibility. He may even promote you to a manager or give you ownership. Guess what? That's just more responsibility. This is what the master does. In the Christian church, you as a Christian or being involved in the church, how do you know you have pleased the master? He gives you more to do. I know it's our sinful nature that goes, ooh, I don't know if I like that. Second, master, you've delivered to me two talents. Here are two more. Four, well done, good and faithful servant. Good and faithful. You've been faithful with a little. I'll put you over much. Oh, more responsibility. And at the end of time, when the world ends and the world is terminated, pun intended, enter into the joy of your master. Now the one servant with the one talent, he comes forward and you can just see how slow he's moving. Why? He's angry. He's not happy. How do we know it? His words, master, you are a hard master, hard person. In fact, you reap where you don't sow. You gather where you haven't scattered seed. He complains about the good master who gave the good gift. You know anybody who's ever complained? You know, when they complain, they're complaining about God. People even do that today. Think about it. Why don't I win the lottery? Why don't I make the salary he makes? Listen. That goes on in the church too. Why don't we worship 1,000? Why do we only worship 100. This is a parable not about the amount of talent. It's about what do you do with whatever the master gives to you. Yeah, without complaining about the amount. Well, here's one who complains. And then the master says, he calls a spade, pun intended, once again. You evil and slothful servant. You knew I reap where I don't sow and I gather where I don't scatter. So why didn't you put it in the bank and let the bankers do something with what I give? Why didn't you deliver what I delivered to you to the bankers? Because they'll do something with it. And I can at least collect my interest. Wow. Then you know what happens? He says, take that talent and give it to who? The one with 10 talents. Give him more responsibility. And then he says these words, listen. Now to the one who has, he is not referring to talents. He's referring to the one who has passion and desire and faith to serve the master, the Lord. Because the master is Jesus Christ in this parable. To the one who has, more will be given and he will have an abundance. What a promise. Now listen, then he says this, to the one who has not what? A talent? No, he's already has the one talent. Has not faith. Faith and desire to serve the Lord. A passion to say, I'm here on earth to serve God Almighty. The one who doesn't have that, what he has, the talent, will be taken away and given to another who will do something with it. Then he says to the one who has no faith, no desire to serve the Lord, take him and throw him out in outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's the end of time. What a parable. And we can learn from it. What should you take home today? Number one, take this home. Everything you have, when it comes to possessions, wealth, money, is a gift from the Master, God Almighty. Every skill that you have physically, mentally, or spiritually is a gift from God. The faith that you cling to the Creator of heaven and earth, your Lord and Savior with, and you know that he will return, that knowledge is a gift from God. Know that everything is from the gracious hand of your master. Take that home with you. And as you go home this morning and look at your life this week, remember to give thanks. The second thing I want you to take home is that there will be an accounting. What does that mean? We know from the Word of God that when he returns, there is going to be people who are happy and blessed, people who are sad and cursed. Know this, there is a day and an accounting. Jesus will be back. He promised it. And you'll have to give an account for what he has done for you. Hopefully, he'll say to each and every one of us, well done, good and faithful servant. The third thing I want you to take home is that the talents, the gifts, and the responsibility that God gives to us is not always what we see and understand. Meaning this. If we do a good job as a church, if you do a good job as a Christian, guess what? The Lord's going to give you more responsibility. You may not always see that, but that's what he does. Let me give you an example. A Blaze Church, are we doing a good job? Is God pleased with us? And do we have his joy and happiness? Well, let me tell you, has he given us more responsibility? Yes. Whether you know it or not, we are one church that has two locations. 146 South Sheraton, 177th, 14901, 100 South, 177th. Two properties. In fact, it's five properties, two locations. That's a lot of responsibility. There are three worship services, even though we're one church. One in Tulsa on Sunday morning, one here on Saturday night, and one here on Sunday morning. That's three services. That's a lot of responsibility. Do you realize as one church, we have three budgets? Now, our Savior has one budget, and there's a board and a president that takes care of it. Ablaze has a budget we have to put together. And then ACA has a budget that's bigger than Ablaze and our Savior put together. And there's a board and a president that has put a budget together. That's a lot of responsibility. How do we know God is pleased? Has He given us more responsibility? And I'm telling you, you can step back and look over the last 3 to 5 years and say, boy, He sure has. And I hope your response, along with mine and Dr. Spomer, is, wow, isn't that exciting? We have more responsibility. Thank you, Lord, for the talents. Now, we may not always see that clearly where He has given us those talents. Let me share with you an article that I received via a magazine that was sent to my office this past week. It's called Outreach. It's a magazine about evangelism, discipleship, and service. There's an article in here called Follow Me or Follow Christ. Okay, follow me and follow Christ is basically the same thing. Well, there's experts in this article that have done research on the different generations. I'm not an expert, so I read about it. And what this article talks about is next generation influencers. Churches, no matter what the size, 10,000, 1,000, or 100. Churches that influence the next generation are leveraging, this article says, their gifts, trading their talents, putting them to work for the Lord, and pursuing their passions. What is the passion of a church? That all men be saved and come to the knowledge of truth. That we reach the nations. Well, they put their talents and their passions together and in the process make disciples. And then in this article, quotes a very famous preacher in the 1800s, Charles Spurgeon. He was the Billy Graham of the 1890s. In fact, when he died, 60,000 people came to his funeral. Wow, in today's day and age, because back then travel, you couldn't do it, he'd be more famous than Arnold Schwarzenegger and Garth Brooks put together. Yeah, but he lived during a time when the church in Europe was failing. The church in Europe was not very popular. And this is what he said. You are either a missionary, speaking to the church and to Christians, you are either a missionary or an imposter. Now think about that with this parable of the 10 talents. Two servants with their passions and gifts put them to work to serve the master. The one was an imposter. He dug a hole and buried it. He did have no desire and faith to serve the master. You're either a missionary or an imposter. And then he goes on and he explains the different generations. I'm a baby boomer, and many of you may be baby boomers, but you know your generation, right? There's the silent generation, there's the baby boomers, there's Generation X, there's millennials, a new one. Everybody's talking about Generation Z. Now, when it came to the silent generation and baby boomers, guess what? They grew up in the church, and the church was part of their life. 30 years ago, my second year in the ministry here in Tulsa, I had 29 baptisms. Those were all from baby boomers who brought their children to church. That's what the people did. They were church shopping. Everybody came to church. Then Generation X happened, and people just followed suit along with the baby boomers, but a change slightly happened. And then the millennials came, and you know what the millennials they found in this article? Millennials grew up seeing most of their generation leave the church. It is the millennials who said, we're leaving the Baptist church, the Catholic church, the Lutheran church. We're just leaving. It's not that important to us. Not like our fathers or our grandparents. Now, this article speaks about Generation Z. That's what everybody's talking about. And this is what it says. Generation Z is growing up seeing few of their friends even familiar with the church. Millennials leave in droves. Generation Z, church? What's the church? Christmas is about Santa Claus. Easter is about the Easter Bunny, period. Generation Z sees no need for the church. Now, I want to show with you, and I want you to put on those clear glasses and see 2020, where the Lord has laid before us a responsibility with talent. Do you realize that in this building, every day of the week, moved by the Holy Spirit, millennial parents and soon to be Generation Z parents bring the most prized possession in their life, their children. Prior to COVID, and now within COVID, we're getting right back up to it. Prior to COVID, 120 children per day brought by their parents came through these doors. And those parents say to this church and the responsibility of this church, along with ACA, here are our children. Please teach them about Jesus. Teach them to pray. Teach them to sing. Teach them the true meaning of Christmas and Easter. And by the way, we will pay you to do this. Wow. You want to talk about a responsibility? That's huge. Who has provided that talent and the gifts to do that? God. Who has made sure not only this year, but next year and 5 years from now, whatever that new generation is, that they'll still come and say, here, take our children and teach them. God has done that. And we're responsible for that. I don't know about you, but I get excited about that. And I hope you do too. Number one, everything is a gift from God. And he has given it to us to serve him. Number two, there will be a time in accounting. And we have to make sure that everything we do is for him. And number three, we need to see clearly the gifts, the blessings that he has asked us to be responsible for and do it with joy. Why? Why should we get excited about that? You remember the two servants? They said to the master, you have delivered unto us talents. Let me tell you what God has given to you, to the world. God so loved the world, he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That alone should motivate you to serve him. Listen to the words of Jesus walking to Jerusalem. The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful man, be crucified, and rise on the third day. He did that for us. It is Paul who explains it this way. Listen, Paul says, he was delivered for our transgressions. He was raised for our righteousness. Wow, that should motivate us to say, Lord, give us more responsibility. You've given us talents, give us more. If he says to us, good and faithful servants, if you're faithful over little, I'll give you much. See how much he's given us. And let's get excited about taking the responsibility and multiplying it. Amen.